Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Tonight we'll be covering a subject that is very important that Paul addresses just before he says that we need to take up the armor. He makes a statement that is so powerful, that is so profound, that most of us don't have a clue when we read it because we just read over it real quick. Now, these are the kinds of things I want to do with you guys at night. I believe that if you come to church on Sunday night, you're hungry for God. Amen. So I'm going to give you the steak in the evening. Amen. And then we'll see what God does. Now, if you don't come on an evening service and you come to a morning service, you won't even know because it's going to be a continuation in the mornings of the series. The nights will kind of just be little inserts that I'm going to be giving you. Is that okay, guys? Now, you know, if I wanted to be one of those pastors, I could have said this morning, if you come tonight, I'll give you the steak, you know. But I didn't do that. Amen. See, I'm nice. Thank you for that encouraging. All right, so tonight's subject is called the power of his might. The power of his might. We're only going to be looking at one verse tonight, and that just will express to you how powerful this verse is. Now, we will be going into other scripture just to enforce what I believe God is wanting to say to us tonight. But this will kind of really just open up what I was explaining to you this morning. And I really hope that you guys are blessed by this word tonight and get a revelation of what God is trying to do in our lives. As I said this morning, and I just want to briefly touch on this, that the enemy is in a battle with you over your faith. He wants to lead you to a state of backsliding, where you begin to lose your faith and begin to slip backwards. So God, when we have faith, we are passionate, we are hungry, we are zealous, and we go for God. Amen. When we are on fire for God, it's easy to pray. It's easy to get in the Word because we have this desire to do so. Now, I'm not saying that if you're not praying all the time and you're not in the Word all the time that you are backslidden. I'm not saying that. Amen. But we can become a little bit cold or cool or lukewarm if we don't keep our spiritual essentials going. And, you know, I've come to the place in my walk with God where I realize that, you know, everybody's walk is different. And everybody's journey is different. But having said that, though, I do also realize that, you know, there just are certain principles that if you apply them, you see God move. There are just certain principles that you see God move. God is a God of relationship. He loves to be intimate with us. He loves to have relationship with us. And so faith is so important. The Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we know that we need faith in order for us to be able to operate. Now, the verse we're going to take a look at is the verse that is used right before he says, take up the full armor of God. So we know that there is spiritual weapons that have been given to us in order for us to battle against the enemy who desires to steal your faith, who desires to destroy you, who desires to destroy your family. Now, you must understand that the enemy does have power if you give him power. In other words, if he has legal ground to operate in your life, he has power to operate in your life. But if we are in Christ, you'll understand, as I shared with you this morning, that all powers and principalities have been defeated, that he actually made a spectacle of him. If you study it in the Greek, you'll see that what it basically says is that principalities and powers have been stripped naked. In other words, all their armor and weaponry has been removed from them, and God has made a spectacle of them. Amen. So, you know, the suggestion is that after Jesus rose from the dead, there was a great celebration of the powerless enemy. Amen. I'm so glad you're excited about that. So let's take a look at it. Let's go to Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Now, I'm going to break it down quite a bit this evening, and then we're just going to go for it. Amen. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And just after this, he goes on to say, you know, take up the full armor. Now, why is this verse so important? First of all, the word finally there basically means that I've said all of what I've said to say this. So in other words, he's saying, I want you to take note of what I'm about to tell you. whenever you see finally or therefore in the Bible, you know that there's something that he's about to say that you need to pay attention to. And so in this verse, we see the word finally. So finally, my brethren. So finally, you guys, people, church people, Christians, believers, guys that are fighting the good fight of faith, you guys, be strong in the Lord. Now, we need to break this down. The Greek word for strong there is a word that is quite unique. It's the word enduyunamo, which is a compound Greek word of two words, the word en and dunamis. The word en and dunamis. The word is endinamu, which is, again, a compound of two words, the word en and dunamis. The word en means in. The word en, I know, right, means in. For finally, a Greek word that sounds English. Okay, so the first part of the word is the word en or in. And we all know, most of us know, that the word dunamis, which is the second part of the word, means explosive strength or power. It is where we get the word dynamite. So when you take the two words and you bring them together, it means to become strong, an inner strengthening. It means that this dynamite, this dynamic power, this dunamis power is in something. It expresses that you must get an excessive dose of dynamic inner strength and ability. You must understand, listen to what he's saying. Finally, my brethren, finally, people, finally, church people, be strong. In other words, be in strength, in power. Okay? But this is, it goes further. It says, because basically what it is saying is, by bringing these two compound words together, it is expressing that this word in, the first part, basically describes that there is a deposit that will be placed in something. That's why he doesn't just use the word power or strength or endowment, power, or those kinds of words. He uses this specific word, endinamu, to describe that this power must be placed inside of something. That something just happens to be you and I. So he's saying, finally, my brethren, be strong. In other words, let this power be placed inside you. What Paul is wanting us to do before we engage with the enemy is he wants this word, he wants this kind of power, this dunamis power, to be placed on the inside of you. You see, you cannot battle with the enemy unless you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. The first step to spiritual warfare is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It is the place where you get dunamis power. It is the place where all of a sudden this dynamic power comes upon you. Now let's take a look at it. Where in the Bible does it speak about dunamis power coming upon the church? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. I'm jumping all over the place. Let's go to Acts 1, verse number 8. We all know this verse. You should know this verse. Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power. That's the word dunamis. There are five words for the word power in the Greek. This is one expression. This is an explosive, dynamic power. This is the power that comes upon you when the Holy Spirit fills you or comes upon you for the first time. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Listen, there is a thing that must take place. Finally, my brethren, be strong, be empowered, be filled with dunamis power. Now, there is an expression after you've been saved that you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's the beginning. But what Paul is saying, in order for us to go into battle with the enemy, you must be strong. This word is very, very powerful. And if you look at the way the word is written in the Greek, it's actually extremely powerful. Because the word is a present passive imperative verb. In other words, first of all, it's present tense. So that means that it must take place now. Be strong now, present tense. Okay, it is a passive imperative verb. The imperative verb means that it is a doing word. So being strong is not just a noun or an adjective. It describes a verb. So being strong is actually doing something. So there is something that will take place in you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, or when this endowment or power comes upon you. Something changes on the inside of you. Amen. Amen. Be strong. Dunamis power. En dunamu, which means power within, or in power. So the Holy Spirit must come upon you. You must be empowered in Christ. Listen, there are so many Christians walking around that don't even believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we, in order for us to do battle, finally, my brethren, and he's about to say all of this to say that now you must pick up your armor. You're going to struggle in the fight, church, if you have not been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're going to struggle in your battle with the enemy. Because even though the enemy's been defeated, without that power living inside you, you cannot do battle, because you'll battle carnally, and a carnal Christian cannot fight in the spirit. You have to be a spiritual man to fight in the spirit. The battle's not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Spirit has to fight spirit. Amen. So what happens is, when this power comes upon you, when this endowment, this power comes in you and upon you, what basically happens now is you've been empowered with supernatural power that comes from God. It's not normal. It's not your power. It's His power. Amen. The word endunamu is a word that was described in the ancient classical Greek to describe people like Hercules. Now don't freak out. Just listen to me. Basically, remember, this, the original language was written in the Greek. So these words were used by Paul specifically to try and express. If you study ancient classical Greek, you'll study that they believed that the gods would empower Hercules, for example, with endunamu. So they would give him power. Now you must understand, now that same expression is used here to describe what God is doing in you. That doesn't make you a god. For goodness sake, man. You are a vessel. Amen. You are a chosen vessel to do His work on this earth. The more God uses you, if you have half a brain cell, you'll realize that you are nothing. Amen. So it's not to puff you up. It's to make you realize that your strength comes from Him. Now, be strong in the Lord. Okay, I'm going to try and explain this. This is a locative case, or a locative tense. It is used several times in Ephesians to teach us that we are in Christ. So he's saying, be strong in the Lord. So the expression here is to try and show you how important it is for you to be in Christ, or in the Lord. Your strength, be strong, this endowment, this dunamis power that will come upon you, comes upon you only when you are in the Lord. Now let's take a look at a few of the verses just to express how powerful it is to be in Christ, or to be in God, or to be in the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians 1 verse number 3. And it's interesting that all of this is in Ephesians. So he's definitely, Paul is trying to make a point. He's trying to teach us something. Amen. Just hang in there, brother. It'll get better, okay? Ephesians 1 verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. So you can only be blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places if you are in Christ. This is the same expression that is used when he says, be strong in the Lord. So your strength can only come once you are locked into Christ. Does that make sense, church? Let's take a look at another one. Ephesians 1, verse number 4. Ephesians 1, verse number 4. Just as He chose us in Him. There's the expression again. In Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Listen, He has chosen us to be in Him. Everything you do for Christ, everything you do for God is done when you are in Him. The only power you have access to is when you are in Him. Now watch. Let's take a look at verse number 7. Ephesians 1, verse number 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So in other words, the only way we receive redemption is when we are in Christ. Forgiveness of sins, the ability to walk in righteousness is only when we are in Christ. Stand outside of Christ. Listen, and you're full of sin. Right? So it's in Him. Ephesians 1, verse number 11. Watch this because it gets really nice. Nice. Amen. Ephesians 1, verse number 7. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. How many of you know we have an inheritance? How many of you know we are all called according to His purpose, and He will work all things out for us if we are in Him? You have to be in Him. You have to be positioned in Him. You have to be locked in Him. This morning I showed you that He has already overcome the enemy. He has already placed Satan under His feet. He has already defeated powers and principalities. He's disarmed them. You cannot do battle with the enemy if you are not in Him. One more. Ephesians 1:13. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It is only in Him that salvation comes, and that you are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. That means, church, that once you are in Him, that promise is for you. It's not for some, it's for all. If you'd like my notes, I can send them to you. Amen. I know you haven't heard this before. It's because I don't preach this stuff. Just wait. We're just warming up. Okay, let me get back to my sermon. Amen. Are you guys okay? So what it basically describes is that we should be strong in the Lord. We should be locked up in Christ, and that His power is now working in us. So we're locked in Him, and His power has been deposited inside us in dynamo. Do you get it? Amen. It's powerful. It's really powerful. In order to get this power, we must be in Him to receive it by faith. Listen, the only way you receive it is by faith. How do you know that you are saved? Well, I know, Pastor. How? By faith. How do you know the Holy Spirit has come upon you? By faith. People ask me all the time, what is the evidence of the baptism of the Spirit? Well, the Bible says that when He spoke to His disciples and He said to them they should go to Jerusalem, He said that you will be endued with power. So what's the evidence? The evidence is power, but we also see, and don't get upset, you need to hear this, don't get upset. We also see that every time the Holy Spirit gets poured out upon people in the New Testament, throughout the book of Acts, we see tongues as an expression. Now, I don't have the time. I would love to talk to you all about it. But come to E1 on the second Saturday of January, of July. Come to the, thank you, the second Saturday of July. And we're going to discuss this in depth, verse by verse. I'll break it down. I'll go strict to the text. We'll go through every verse. We'll go through 1 Corinthians 14. I'll show you, walk through the book of Acts with you and show you what took place. The misunderstanding with 1 Corinthians 14 is shocking. The only reason why the church brought up cessation is because they couldn't explain why there was no more power in the church. So they said that the gifts and the power and tongues and all that stopped with the early church as God set and established his church. Are you kidding me? There's no way. There's absolutely no way. That was only the beginning. Now, let's take a look at it. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, the reality is that Paul has now explained to you that in order for you to fight with the enemy, in order for you to pick up your spiritual weapons, you must first have endunamu in your life. You must be in Christ, endued with power, and there must be a deposit inside you. How many of you know it's Christ in me, the hope for glory, hope of glory? Amen. So it's in him and him in us, working in us to fulfill his purpose. But when he's working in us and we are constantly being endued with power, in other words, we are constantly in communion with him, we are constantly in relationship with him and being filled constantly by the Holy Spirit. The reality is you're not even aware of it, but as you walk in relationship with him and you've had this expression come upon you, constantly God is busy working with you and in you. You can walk up to someone anytime, lay hands on them, and the power of God can show up. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But he goes further because he really wants you to get understanding and he wants to bring it all together so that you will know that when you truly are in Christ and you're seated with him, and you know your authority, and you have relationship and intimacy with him, all the power that he needs you to have to overcome, and not only overcome, but actually take on the enemy, you have available to you. So let's look at it. There's two words that we need to look at. Paul goes further and he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The two words we need to look at are the words power and his might. Power and his might. The word for power here is the Greek word kratos. Kratos. And basically in the Greek it means this. It means power. It means strength. It describes though a manifesting of great power. So this type of power, this kratos power, is normally displayed in some form of manifestation. This kind of power is extremely powerful because I'll show you in a minute just what takes place and where you see God disarm the enemy of this power that he had. Because there was a time that Satan had kratos power, but he doesn't anymore. Yeah. Oh, I love God. Don't you guys just love God? This kind of power, this kratos power, is eruptive. This kind of power is tangible. It always or almost always has an outward manifestation. Kratos power is divinely given and can only be given by God and is only demonstrated by him through you. It is given to you, but it is a divine power. Amen. It is a very, very powerful power and normally comes with some form of manifestation. Now watch this. Let's go to Hebrews 2, verse number 14. Hebrews 2, verse number 14. Now you'll see, I read this verse to you this morning and you all thought, now why is he reading that? Watch. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. The power, the word power there is the word kratos. So who had the power of death? The devil. But that power has been taken away from him. How many of you know that Jesus went down into the grave and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, right? So he has that power now. What does that mean? That means, listen to me, that means that he has resurrection power. That power now dwells inside you. Listen, that's resurrection power. That's the power over death. This power is extremely powerful. Can you imagine what it must have been like when the power of God was manifest on Jesus Christ, who was in the grave? And the Bible describes that the Roman soldiers fell down on the ground. They actually fell down. And the Bible says they were like dead men. They couldn't move under the power. And people want to know why people fall down. When there is explosive power. Listen to me. Sit down, guys. I love you for it. Amen. When there is explosive, expressive power, there will often be a manifestation. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers came to arrest him, they asked, "Who is the Christ?" And he turned around and said, "I am." And when he said this, the soldiers fell down. Because it was expressing himself as who? As God. So when that explosive power, that Kratos power is in you and is expressed, listen, it is difficult for people to stay on their feet. Remember, as I said, this is a display of power. Amen. Are you guys okay? Just stick with it. You'll be okay, all right? Shame. Okay. This is the power that the devil had over death that he no longer has, because it says him who had the power of death. In other words, he no longer has it, because he did have it, but Jesus took it away from him. Isn't that great news, guys? Is it starting to make sense? Now understand something. First, he says you need dynamic power. You need dunamis, explosive power. Once you have that explosive power, now you can begin to take on the enemy. Now he says, listen, I'm not only going to give you that power, but I'm also going to give you Kratos power. Kratos power now is a power that not only is explosive, but also has the ability to raise the dead. The only thing I can see is principalities and powers getting stripped of their power. Because Jesus stripped them of their power and made a public spectacle of them. Why? Because this power reigns in him. Kratos power. Amen. Amen. So we see first dunamis, then we see Kratos power. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The final word we need to look at is the word ischus, which, funny enough, if you look at it in the original language, the first three words you'll see are the same as you see with ischus, kratos, and dunamis, which basically describes might, strength, and power. But in this context, it shows the power or strength of a very strong man that is able. And this is what you need to understand, is that if you are in Christ, if you are in the power of his might, how many of you know he is able? He is able. He has a strength that is unmatchable. He has a strength, a power that is unquenchable, that cannot be compared to anything else that is out there. Nothing the enemy can throw at you can be stronger than the might that God has. His might is creative. One scholar translates this entire verse like this. He says, "Be strong in the Lord and the powerful, outwardly demonstrated ability that works in you as a result of God's great muscular ability." It's his might that parted the sea. It's his might that caused all the plagues to take place. It's his might that created the world. It's his might. It's in him. It's his strength that overcomes everything the enemy could possibly throw against you. Be strong in the Lord and the kratos, the power of his might. In his strength, in his ability, you must understand that when you go into battle with a defeated enemy, the only way he's defeated is if you are in Christ and you are operating with his strength, with his ability, with his power, with his authority that has been delegated to you. Yes. One more scripture. Watch how this all comes together now. Ephesians 1, verse number 19. Now remember what I taught you this morning, church. That Jesus has stripped the principalities and powers. In other words, now we are battling a defeated foe, but we need to be in Christ to be able to battle this foe, because only in him is he defeated, right? Watch this now. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his at his right hand in the heavenly places. Watch. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age which is to come. So when did we lose this authority and power? But let me show you something else. Remember, the first thing is in dunamis power. The second thing is kratos power. And the third thing is iskos power. So the Lord is wanting us to be in Christ, operating with a power that is manifest through him or from him in our mortal bodies to do supernatural manifestations that only comes by his strength and his might, right? So let's look at this verse quickly once again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis, his power, his dunamis, towards us, you, who believe, according to the working of what? His mighty power, iskos and kratos. Again, we see all three expressions of power. You must understand it's that power, iskos, kratos, and dunamis power, that power that raised Christ out of the dead, out of the grave, raised him from the dead. It's that power, iskos, kratos, and dunamis power that now is available and operating in your life. Come on, I thought you guys would like this. You see, when this kind of power is working in you, it is working in us who believe. You must understand that we are now placed with him far above principalities and powers. That's why when you do deliverance and you tell the devil to shut up, he must be quiet. That's why when you do deliverance and you command him to go, he must go. Why? Because you are seated with Christ. You are in him. He is in you. You are a partnership. It's time for every single one of us to know who we are in Christ, to wage a good warfare, to pick up the sword of the Spirit and go into battle with the enemy. But when we do it, we know who we are and we know who Christ is and what he's accomplished. That's the key to success in spiritual warfare, is to know that he has already overcome this world. And now you're in him. And when you're in him, everything you need to overcome is now in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I'm not closing, I'm just praying. Father, we thank you this evening in this place for your mighty power. We thank you, Father, that it is your ultimate, all-consuming fire, your power that leads unto salvation, that heals the sick, that delivers the brokenhearted. Father, it is your power that sets us free. It is your power working inside each and every one of us that changes us, that transforms us. It is also your power, and once we are in you, that we have the ability to come against the forces of the enemy that desire to come against our loved ones, that desire to come against our church, that desire to come against our city, that desire to come against our nation. For surely, Father, we are the watchman on the wall, and it is our duty, our responsibility to pray, to seek your face concerning our nation, to seek your face concerning our city, to seek your face concerning our own families, our own lives. Father, I pray that we will know that we are seated with you, that your power is working inside each and every one of us. Father, I pray, even tonight in this place, that you will come upon us with your power, that you will renew us, that you will strengthen us, that you will fill us, that you will revive every single one of us in this place, Father. Lord, let us not just walk around and just only be witnesses in word only, but let us also be a witness that carries your glory and your power and your fire and your presence everywhere that we go, Father. That when we speak to people, Lord, that the words that we speak, that when they come out of us, Father, they will have explosive, dynamis power, that they will have the ability to change and to transform. Father, I pray for these in this place this evening, that you will give them the gifts of the Spirit, Father, that you will manifest yourself. For surely your word says that we should pursue love, but we should also desire spiritual gifts. For it is your desire that we will become spiritual men and spiritual women that will be used by you in your kingdom and to display your kingdom, to take rule and dominion on this earth, O God. Father, for did you not say when Jesus came, did he not say that he came because the kingdom of God is at hand? Did he not say the kingdom of God is at hand? Did he not say the kingdom of God is within you? Did he not say it, Father? And so I pray tonight in this place that you will ignite us, that you will revive us, that you will strengthen us. Father, I pray right now that your power will fall in this place. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you will manifest yourself in this place, that you will begin to touch people who are hungry, that you will begin to touch people who are desiring it, those who want a touch from you, those who want to be rejuvenated, revived, renewed, Father, tonight in this place, that you will fill them right now with your power. Lord, like your word says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Father, I pray that you will do that with us this night in this place, for surely we are clothed with the full armor of God. And Father, we desire to put every piece of the armor on, for surely I see a spiritual man. I see a man clothed in armor, but I see weaponry that has become stale and dry. I see weaponry that is missing parts and missing pieces. For surely, says the Lord, I will raise up a generation that will carry my shield of faith in this hour. Yes, they will. They will carry my full armor, says the Lord. And they will go out into the highways and the byways, and they will go out in the power of my might. And Father, I pray this night in this place that you will just cause, Father, a desire inside every single one of us once again to just seek your face with everything inside of us.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.